AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Family Secrets is a production of iHeartRadio.
Now, if you look at the word healing and its word origins, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon word for wholeness. So healing literally means the process of being whole, which begs the question, what do you mean whole? Aren't I whole in the first place? Well, yes, in essence you are, but as a result of trauma, you get cut off from parts of yourself.
That's Dr. Gabor Maté, physician, renowned speaker, and best-selling author of 5 books, including, most recently, The Myth of Normal. Dr. Maté is a leading expert in the field of trauma, addiction, and childhood development. I'm Dani Shapiro, and this is a special bonus episode of Family Secrets. The secrets that are kept from us, the secrets we keep from others, and the secrets we keep from ourselves. Early in your book, you recount a moment from a commencement speech by David Foster Wallace. It's a parable of 2 young fish who encounter an elder fish on their aquatic paths. And the elder says to the younger fish, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And the elder fish says, "What the hell is water?" What does this story mean to you?
Well, it means exactly what David Foster Wallace intended it to mean, which is that sometimes the things that we're most used to and really like swimming in, we don't recognize it. We just assume it's normal. We just are not even related to it. We just carry on our merry way without actually being aware of the milieu that we're in or of the impact of the milieu on us. So those banal, the everyday things, he says, have the greatest consequences for our lives. Now, he himself is a tragic example because, as you may know, he committed suicide. You know, he was this incredible talent. But I don't think he ever was able to fully metabolize his suffering until all he could do was to escape from it.
Yeah, that reminds me, elsewhere in your book, you describe Elizabeth Wurtzel, who wrote fairly late in her all-too-brief life. She wrote about having discovered that her father who raised her wasn't her biological father, and she writes about her depression. And there's something that you write about, this kind of suffering that can go along with a glittering career. And yet underneath that, there is this trauma that is either not understood or certainly not healed.
Yeah. Well, there are all too many people out there with glittering careers who have suffered tremendously, and many of them in the entertainment world. And we know these figures who are at the very top of their profession, adulated by millions. And look at the riches that Elvis accrued and that were stolen from him, actually, by his manager. And he was a suffering person. He had a twin brother who died at birth. And lots of other trauma. And much of his charisma came from his suffering. Also his incredible talent. Marilyn Monroe, same thing. Lots of examples of this. Aretha Franklin is another one. You know, incredible, iconic singer. She sings the song R-A-S-P-C-T about respect. And in her life, she was never respected. She was traumatized as a child, abused as an adult, and didn't have the self-respect to set boundaries for herself because of her childhood trauma. These people are suffering trauma in their childhood, and that trauma shows up even in their successes. That's part of the toxicity of our culture, is that sometimes we reward people's desperate coping mechanisms.
That's really fascinating. Do you think that there's some correlation between talent or perhaps ambition or what makes somebody strive for that kind of worldly success, whether it's in art or it's in politics, and, you know, the initial wound? Or is that coincidence, or do we only know these stories because these people are famous?
To give my own personal example, before I wrote books and worked in trauma, I was a family physician and very successful. I had endless demand for my services, and I never said no. I was a pure workaholic. And that workaholism really hurt my family, it hurt my kids, it hurt my wife. That workaholism was rewarded by the world. Everybody said, what a great doctor, he's always available. And of course, the more I made myself available day or night, the more gratitude came my way and the more money I made. So the world rewarded my workaholism. But what was driving it was a desperation to prove my value as a human being. Because as an infant, that value was not affirmed given the historical circumstances under which I was born and the suffering of my mother and my family and so on. I had no sense of worth that was independent of what I do in the world. Now, you can go to the autobiographies of a lot of famous people, including any number of U.S. presidents, and see the same dynamic. And you know what? Anybody who's well-versed in trauma, you can see the trauma in their demeanor. I mean, look at so many politicians. Anywhere in the world, they hate giving up power because they don't think very much of themselves deep down, unconsciously.
There's a part in your book that I found extremely difficult to read. It's in this chapter called A Sturdy or a Fragile Foundation. And I really wanted to unpack this with you because you quote Rafi. So Rafi says, "We discover who we are from the inside. What's forming is no less than how it feels to be human." And then later in that same chapter, you quote a book called The Secret History of the Unborn Child. This whole idea of long-term influence, this was something, I mean, I literally was writing exclamation points in the margins, but long-term influence of the intrauterine period on emotional health. And in my own history and the reason that I started this podcast, I discovered in midlife that the dad who raised me had not been my biological father, that my parents had experienced infertility as a couple in the 1960s, that they had used a sperm donor, that they had been told to never tell a soul, to certainly never tell the child, right? I mean, I have a really successful and wonderful life, but in terms of early childhood intrauterine, my mother, I am convinced now, must have been absolutely petrified the entire time she was pregnant. Fortunately, on the biology side, my biological father, who I was able to find and identify, has a constitution that is very, very stable. And I actually think that that had a lot to do, and also with the way that I was surrounded by various adults who loved me and helped me. But I'm saying all this because what does it mean? We can't change where we started. We can't change the stories that we're told that form our identity from the time that we're sentient beings. Yeah. And there's so much that we can do, but there are things that we can't do. And your book is full of both. It's full of, you know, the bad news and the good news. And there's so much about healing in there, but there's also the ways in which we can never alter, or if we were formed in this way very early on with a kind of lack of maternal connection, with fear even in the uterus, what do we do with that in our lives?
There was a quote that so speaks to your situation, Carol Griffin, and she writes, "A certain kind of silence, that which comes from holding back the truth, is in itself abusive to a child. The soul has a natural movement towards knowledge, so that not to know can lead to despair. In the paucity of explanation for a mood, a look, a gesture, the child takes on the blame and carries thus a guilt for circumstances beyond childish influence." And that would have hurt you, because the child can sense that there's something wrong, there's something not being said, but it's so confusing. And all the child can do is to develop a sense of lack of safety and self-blame. And that's what happens.
One of the things that I came to realize is that whole idea of the kind of trauma, big T trauma, you know, as you write about in The Myth of Normal, in which the person is trapped and powerless and there's nothing to be done, as opposed to actually being able to make meaning out of it, do something with it, and that changes the game.
That's right. So to go back to your question about what to do about it all, here's the good news about trauma. Trauma is not what happened to you. Trauma is what happened inside you as a result of what happened to you. Your trauma wasn't that they withheld the truth from you. The trauma is the emotional, psychological wound ingrained in your body and your nervous system. In terms of what to do about it, if the trauma was what happened to you, which is the circumstances around your gestation and birth and childhood, the trauma is what happened to me as a Jewish infant under the Nazis in Hungary. If that was the trauma, there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do, because that happened. It'll never not have happened. But if the trauma is what we made it mean about ourselves, which is that I didn't have value as a human being, or that somehow you were faulty or not worthy or whatever you made it mean, that can be healed at any time. We can help heal what we made the past mean. And that's the actual journey. And so this is why I quote the Buddha as well. He says that, you know, he points out that with our minds, we create the world. Like, if my mind tells me that I'm not worthy, then I'm living a life. I'm living in a world where I always have to prove my worthiness. And how other people feel about me is hugely important. If I live in a world where I know that I'm worthwhile because I exist, it doesn't matter so much what anybody thinks and what success I achieve or what success I don't achieve, you know. So the Buddha said that with our minds we create the world. What Buddha didn't say is that before with our minds we create the world creates our mind. So that the mind and the brain with which we interpret and interface with the world is created by our early circumstances under conditions we had no control over whatsoever. And the whole idea of healing then resides in gaining agency. We're helpless in our origin story, but we're not helpless in the present moment. So whatever I believed or you believed as a result of all that, we can drop those beliefs and we can drop the physiological reactions that those beliefs trigger in us. And that's what liberation means, is that we're in the present moment.
We'll be right back.
Tired of of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more, with a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Do you think that the dropping of those beliefs is something that we can do and then be done with? Or is life a little bit more like a game of chutes and ladders where, you know, you write in The Myth of Normal about the real meaning of triggers, not the way that it's often used in the culture today? And this may be a rhetorical question, but is there a kind of place that you get to where it's like, no, you're good, you're done, and that history no longer has the power to haunt?
I'll let you know when I get there, okay? I sometimes talk about my epitaph. I've created my own, it's going to be carved on my gravestone, you know what it's going to say? It'll say, it was a lot more work than I had anticipated, you know? And that work goes on forever. It's not that I can't get triggered now, and we can talk about the meaning of trigger, but when I do get upset, let's take a very personal example, okay? Occasionally I talk about this with my wife's permission. So let's say one night in the long distance past, 20 years ago, I want to sleep with her, and she says no. And my response typically would be to curl into a fetal ball and be in despair and be in a rageful state. And my body would really be, my viscera would really be tense and constricted, you know? Well, what's that about? It's not the response of a mature adult who says, oh, too bad. I wonder what's going on for you, or maybe you're too tired, or I'm disappointed. Let's talk about it tomorrow. You know, that'd be a mature response. My response to go into a fetal ball is literally the response of an infant. I'm being rejected by mother, which was my experience. Not that she rejected me, but she gave me to a stranger, and I didn't see her for 6 weeks to save my life. But I experienced it as a rejection. And that response is still ingrained in my body. Now, these days, should it happen, it doesn't trigger the same reaction because I've dealt with it. At most, I might feel a disappointment. You know, I wanted something, I don't get it. Well, that's disappointing, you know. Well, you know what? I'm overstating my healing here. I can still feel some tension around it. So if you look at what a trigger is, a trigger is a metaphor drawn from weaponry. Now, in a weapon, how big a part of the weapon is the trigger? It's a tiny little thing. The only reason the trigger works is because there's a whole weapon there with ammunition and explosive charge. Now, if you say something that triggers me, I could say, what was the explosive material inside me that got set off here? And that's by far the more interesting question. So triggers, I think, are really useful. If you get triggered, boy, you've got a lot of beautiful material to learn from about yourself. If you ask the right questions, the anger. If I crossed your boundaries or hurt you some way or let you down in some significant ways, you should be angry with me, you know? And you should say, you don't do this to me. I will not interact with you. That's healthy anger. That's not being triggered. That's a healthy response to a present boundary violation. Triggering means that we lose consciousness of what's driving us and we put all the blame externally and even we're not even aware that we're triggered. Our body literally changes. And I've been in that state plenty of time. And whenever that happens to a person, rest assured that it's something about the past, not in the present. It's just the present somehow resemble the past, and that's what the little trigger is.
Well, and you also write quite a bit in The Myth of Normal about blame. And one of the things in this lexicon of triggering, if you're triggering me, then I blame you, instead of what is it in me that has just gotten set off by this little trigger that is this seismic thing that's happening in my body or in my psyche.
Exactly, yeah. From that point of view, my marriage has been my biggest institution of learning, because that's what I really have learned about myself. I mean, I've done a lot of learning, you know, in all kinds of platforms and venues, but the biggest transformation is always in relationship, where you really have to deal with, if you want the relationship to survive, you got to deal with your own stuff. Either that, or you expect the other person to suppress themselves to suit you. And when that happens, more suffering happens.
Well, that leads me to something that I found to be this really provocative, interesting idea. This idea that you put so succinctly and beautifully about attachment in family and the ways that we are our laboratories in a way, like we a family is its own kind of laboratory for all of it, for growth, for triggers, for whatever it is we do to each other and for each other.
Both are being stunted. Both can happen even to the same person.
So the thing that you write about that I found really fascinating is the idea that we want to feel attached. It's essential that we feel attached to the people that we love and the people who are closest to us. And at the same time, it's possible when that goes awry that when we are our authentic selves, we are putting that attachment at risk somehow. It took me a lifetime and perhaps even the death of my mother to fully inhabit my authentic self because it was going to deeply threaten whatever that attachment was that I needed so badly.
That tension between attachment and authenticity is a major theme in a lot of people's lives. There's no bargain between parent and child, ideally speaking. Here's what I have to do to have my mother love me or my father accept me. You know, there's no bargain. There's only a one-way responsibility. That responsibility is I'm going to accept you as you are, no matter who you are, how you are, because you are. And there'll be no conditions on that acceptance. You don't have to be pretty, smart, compliant, cute, sweet, helpful, obedient, anything. You're just accepted for who you are because you are. No bargain. And without that attachment relationship of being taken care of, we just can't survive. No mammalian infant can survive. So attachment is like wired into our biology. But so is authenticity, wired into our biology, the capacity to know what we feel and to be able to act on it. I mean, as we evolved as creatures out in nature, how long would we have survived if we weren't in touch with our gut feelings? You know? And so that's another need, a lot of people. If you really want to be accepted, you have to hold up your end of a bargain. Then the child will suppress their authenticity, their genuine feelings, who they really are, for the sake of being accepted. And that tragic tension between authenticity and attachment gets wired in, and then we spend the rest of our lives living out of it. So then in our future relationships, we hide our deepest desires and our deepest fears and who we really are and what we really think. And on our job, we dare not express ourselves. And to our friends, we dare not be authentic. And to our partners, we're afraid of being authentic for being rejected, because that was your experience as a child, that when you're authentic, you were not given acceptance. But your poor parents couldn't give it to you because they themselves never had it.
You know, part of what you're saying, I feel, thrums beneath so many of the stories that my guests share with me on this podcast, because when you're talking about secrecy, you're automatically and instantly talking about a lack of authenticity. If you're keeping a secret, it's very often or almost always out of shame or out of the fear that it will destroy an attachment that feels important. And, you know, I think one of the things that happens in the stories that my guests share with me, because if they've come on this podcast, it means very often they've already dealt with a lot of this. And it really has to do with, well, what is the liberation that is available when a secret is finally voiced, spoken, metabolized, understood?
Yeah. So I think you had the same experience that I had as a writer. Like, you begin to write a book because you think you want to tell people something. And then you actually find out that you were writing about what you had to learn yourself. So that you write the book, and I just thought I wanted to tell the world stuff. But in the process of writing, the stuff emerged about me that I had to learn. Or about the ideas that I was expanding on, I took them much deeper than I would have had I not written about them. And so in that sense, and I think what you and I have in common is that any secrets we have don't stay secrets.
Well, and that discovery is always at the heart of what makes a book a good book, is what's alive on the page is you actually feel the writer discovering something.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess I want to ask you a little bit more about healing and the ways in which we can understand our wounds intellectually. What can you say about this ongoing process of moving through life and actually the difference between the gaping wound, the scar tissue that you write about, and perhaps the true healing?
It's a process that occurs over time. Now, if you look at the word healing and its word origins, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon word for wholeness. So healing literally means the process of being whole. Now, which begs the question, what do you mean whole? Aren't I whole in the first place? Well, yes, in essence you are, but as a result of trauma, you get cut off from parts of yourself. So the essence of trauma is actually a disconnection from ourselves, which also means that the healing means connecting with ourselves. But healing is the process of connecting with all aspects of ourselves, which takes compassion rather than self-judgment, and which takes curiosity. If I'm triggered, I could now judge myself and say, what an idiot, you did it again. Or I could say, huh, what in me was set off by that trigger that I haven't looked at yet? So the therapeutic approach I've developed is called compassionate inquiry. And we've had about 3,000 students now in 80 countries in the last 3 years studying it. So it's a process. It has many different dimensions. I don't claim that either my book or my method is the answer. There's no the answer. There is all kinds of healing modalities. But in general, I would say that healing modalities that don't allow you to get to know your trauma and to befriend it and to learn from it don't work. So whatever healing means, it means becoming whole. And that means confronting, befriending, dealing with all the wounds that we carry, and doing so in a compassionate manner.
Family Secrets is a production of iHeartRadio. Molly Zakur is the story editor, and Dylan Fagan is the executive producer. If you have a family secret you'd like to share, please leave us a voicemail, and your story could appear on an upcoming episode. Our number is 1-888-SECRET-0. That's the number 0. You can also find me on Instagram at D Danny Ryder. And if you'd like to know more about the story that inspired this podcast, check out my memoir, Inheritance.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.